Can you unmute us, Steve?
Hmm?
Can you unmute us? Demute. Unmute. On the bottom left, right?
What?
Unmute us in the bottom left corner.
Good evening, everyone. As usual, it's just a delight to sit with you. Randy just said, stay in your body. Wow, after that guided meditation, if I can't stay in my body, then, you know, I may be hopeless. That was beautiful. I mean, there was such stillness in that I haven't felt in a while. So thank you, Randy. Speaking of something we might enjoy, have you noticed the weather? The cooler weather. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of the little joys. I don't know about you, but it's a big joy to me to be out and about. We were sitting on our deck the other day, and I don't know what time it was during the day, and I said, Randy, there's a breeze, and it's cool. It's a cool breeze. So I have not felt that in such a long time. And Lisa, a friend of ours who lives in Missouri, who's a meditation teacher, she's a Texan. She calls that soft air. Soft air. And ever since she has said that, it's like, yeah, it's so soft. But anyway, let's study. Let's do some studying. So the Buddha began teaching the practice, as you well know, 2,600 years ago. So it's been a long time. But the purpose was, and the only purpose was, to help anyone who is interested in becoming freer. Freer from what? Well, freer from suffering, from causing any unnecessary suffering and pain for ourselves and for the world. I mean, what a gift. So we understood that the usual distractions that we have, or I should say, with scanning and viewing on my iPad, I love to do it, or any of our doing along with pleasant experiences, just doesn't quite offer us a reliable refuge from the difficulties of life. You know, it may for a second to distract us, it may for a while, but it's not lasting. And so this is a reliable refuge, but of course that has to come to us in whole body awareness. It is such an avenue, because we carry this refuge around with us wherever we go, such profound knowledge. So, he discovered a radical way, a different way, the middle way, alleviating suffering from a process that he discovered himself. He didn't create it. He just was a scientist of the present moment. He just noticed the power in the present moment. And so, of course, we study or we learn to meditate using the four foundations of mindfulness. If there's anything, I always say, you know, don't take notes, don't try to memorize any of this, but really the four foundations of mindfulness should always be kind of in the background. Why? Because those are the root of what we're trying to do. So the first one, of course, is awareness of the experience of the body. And in that, we come closer to our breath and to the changing nature of sensations. And so one might say, so what? Well, that has to be experienced to even get close to the benefits. And the second one was exploring our response to the pleasant and the unpleasant experiences, the feeling tones that come up in our body constantly as we're perceiving through our six senses. And so, what do we do with them? And then the third one is recognizing the emotions in the state of the mind that causes our stress and reactivity. And then the fourth is just cultivating a variety of qualities that support and work wisely with these causes. So listening to the teachings of the Satipatthana Sutta, which is something we're doing right now, is like a formal meditation. All the teachings, anytime you hear someone talk about the truth, you know, pay attention. Pay attention. And the Satipatthana Sutta is where all the knowledge, from where all the knowledge comes. And so these foundations help us to strengthen everything that it may take to develop bodily awareness. Now, why do we need bodily awareness? One might say that doesn't practice. Well, one answer comes very quickly to me is that we're in this container. We're in this, I think Tara Brock says it's a spaceship, it's a space suit. We're in this container. We're trapped whether we want to be here or not. And within this container holds all the wisdom. Now that's the truth. However, the conventional mind states what we have of the body in the mind are mostly false. I've had a teacher say, what if I told you that everything you've been told your entire life is not true? Woo! That's powerful. Something we'd have to find out. So it's how we relate to the body and the mind that is not staying true to them, to the truth of the body and the mind. So if we commit to this practice, we're interested in the truth, right? But the good, the bad, and the ugly, that's what the practice opens up to us. Because Definitely the peace and quiet and stillness, we know that benefit. But we have these crazy concepts that have been carried down and we've been taught, and they've been around for eons. And mostly we don't question them. So I ran across this book. I got interested in a book by Naglio. It's called Satipatthana Meditation, A Practice Guide. And Naglio, if you've not heard who he is, he's a scholar, monk. He's written lots of books. And happens to now, he's from Germany, live there at IMS in Massachusetts as a member of the Bear Center for Buddhist Studies. And in thinking about him and thinking what I want to say about him, I saw that he went on a year-long personal solitary retreat starting last month. So the last time I was at IMS, the main thing I wanted to do is see if I could see Naglio. Has anybody seen Naglio? I just want to see him. So I became really interested in this book after I read Joseph Goldstein's blip about it. And he said, Naglio has developed a simple and straightforward map of practice instructions encompassing all four Satipatthana suttas. Now, it was the simple and the straightforward that got my attention, because Naglio, through reputation, and what we as urban Buddhists think, we would say he's probably the most renowned scholar on the planet. He is smarter than smart and deeper than deep. That's my opinion, but a lot of people feel the same way. And of course, he's a scholar in lots of things, but the Satipatthana Sutta, of course, is the teachings that teach us how to meditate. And so he is a scholar, and he writes like a scholar. And so he's difficult to read, you know? But anyway, I was scanning his book, one of his books. He wrote it in 2018, and he says there's a possibility that it is bringing that this process that he's using right now is bringing conventional and contemporary methods of practice together. Now, I suspect he's been very stuck in the traditional for a long, long time, which that's what scholars do, really dive into it. But again, what interested me with what I consider the smartest man on the earth, on the planet, was bringing conventional and contemporary methods of practice together. And it comes from one who I feel like knows the most or the best. Who knows? So he's the closest to what and how to practice as far as knowing what the Buddha meant in the Satipatthana Sutta. So he's not just any guy. So he teaches the hard truths, this is what I'm finding, that set us free with the least amount of confusion. Now, again, we're talking about the hard truths of the good and the bad and the ugly. Now, remember when we start wanting to find all this information about ourselves in an honest, open way, it's not all good. The bad and the ugly is just as important and essential as all the other things that we've created to gloss over it. But nothing's wrong with it if we know the truth. Because it seems that it doesn't matter where the truth, from where the truth comes. Because truth is the truth. And so we have to dive into all of it. And so this was in my mind state that motivated me to scan through this book. And so it's so compelling that I want you to be interested in it too. Because I want to teach from it for a while. Now that's the truth. So Buddha helps us cut through the illusion that we are separate. We're nature. We're as much as nature as anything else around us. And so nature, and this connects us to the truth of who we really are. And that's where the four foundations lead. It leads through the body, the feelings, and the mind, and all the things around that, that comes through as the truth. And with this coming from a renowned scholar that I haven't studied before, because, yeah, he's scholarly. So that's my motivation. But he starts with three exercises. So that's why you're getting this lesson. So he starts with three exercises that emerge as the common ground of body contemplation. Mindfulness of the body enables embodied understanding. Now, what is so good, or what is so exciting about embodied understanding? Well, let me give you the wiki definition before I give you another. To truly embody something means that you have a full body felt experience of things, state, and experiences. It means that you don't just know something as thoughts or mental understanding, but that you also feel it as it occurs within the sensations of your body. And one piece of wisdom that comes along with that is anything that we experience through these six sensations,
Senses,
thank you. It comes a bodily sensation. So we're not going to be escaping our bodily sensations at all. So Arnaglio, he stresses how deeply we can understand the truth of these bodies and see the difference of the things that we've concocted about it. Because we do. We have these mind states about these bodies. I mean, I'm so cute. Am I not cute? I mean, look at my hair, my outfit. I mean, I spend a lot of time being cute. And, you know, that's not easy at 75. But again, you're seeing the illusion. You're seeing the very small illusion of what I truly look like. Okay. That's the ugly. You know what I mean? That's the pretense. But it's there. And this is the level of truth that Analio's talking about. It's and his approach, you can tell, will enable that. That's why he promises. So he says, mindfulness of the body, and this is what we'll be studying first, is he puts it under three domains. One, the first one is the anatomy. And this is, of course, under understanding the body, understanding the nature of the body. And so including such things as the most mundane. You notice in Randy's guided meditation, he added skin and bones. Well, Analio adds skin, flesh, and bones to his guided meditation. So we're going deeper into the truth of what is actually here. And you're thinking, well, so what? Well, remember, and this is something that we have to know in some way that the truth sets us free. It doesn't matter what kind of truth it is. It can be a little truth all the way to a big truth. But the truth will set us free. So he started his guided meditation on the skin, flesh, and bones for a better understanding of the body. And this is something I've read about or known that monks do in monastery. All the monks do is some monasteries have full skeletons along with, sometimes it looks like a science lab, because they actually, the monks actually are taught to really go to the nitty-gritty of what this body is composed of. And supposedly, and this is the teachings that have been going down for 2,600 years, that type of attention to the truth of the body opens us closer to the freedom or to the wisdom that frees us. So the second, I'm running out of time, the second contemplation, he says, bringing in the mindfulness of the body, whole body awareness, is contemplation, contemplating that with the four elements of existence. I've not heard this before, so I know this is Analio, the earth, the water, the fire, and the air. And the main thrust of this contemplation is to gain insight into the empty nature of the body and how it interrelates to everything. Can't wait to figure that. I mean, can't wait to learn to do that, because as you can tell, I haven't read the book. But I want to. So I want to read this book. So I'm going to read the book, and I'm going to try to teach you what he says, okay? And see if we can make sense of it. But I want you to know from where I'm coming. So the third one, he says, is the contemplation of death. And he says, if I were asked to recommend just one single meditation practice, I would probably opt for recollection of death. This is because of its power to transform. It's very powerful. Now, why wouldn't it be? But again, where do we have to go? We're not conditioned to talk about death. We're not even conditioned to think we're going to die, you know? So anyway, these are the three contemplations: the anatomy, the elements, and the death. Where we're going to do a little, all of us are going to do a little study. But it sounds like what we'll have available to us is some of the down and dirty truth of existence that maybe we haven't come to realize. And to see for ourselves, does he know what he's talking about? Is it true? But he says these processes, some of these that he has set up or exercises, will shine the light of mindfulness on how to embody. Because we don't know the truth until we embody it. Think about that. It's all a felt sense of existence. Now, we don't have to believe that because we can discover that for ourselves. But the focus is that it can lead to the embodied form of mindfulness. And it's the only place that we live life completely. So it's pretty important. So I'm going to stop there. I did go over a bit. Sorry about that. But just to kind of know, we're going to dive into that and see, you know, if it works for us. Okay, if it's not, we'll throw it away. But I'd like for us to give it a chance. And the name of the book, again, is Mindfulness. No, let me see. Let me go all the way back. Is what? I don't know. And evidently I can't find it. But I want you to know the name of it. It is there. So Satipatthana Meditation, A Practice Guide. Now he's got lots of books out there. But again, don't feel compelled to purchase it, you know. But that's from where my resource is going to be the next few times anyway. Until you guys say stop. We've had enough. Okay, thank you.
Can you spell that?
Satipatthana, okay.
Tell everybody you'll send a link.